You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Morning. This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative. And it's a weird kind of morning. It's cold. It's raining. I tell you what, you live in Chicago long enough, you'll see it all within a week's time. But we're alive. And if you hear my voice, then you are blessed. For today is the day the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and let us be glad in it, people. All right. This morning's guest is Mr. Dr. Andrew Prevost, and he is from Boston, Massachusetts, and Boston College in particular. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Deacon John. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy to have you on this morning, and you're going to be coming in town on Thursday for a lecture, correct?
Yes, that's right.
And that lecture is going to be at the University of Chicago, and we'll tell our listeners more about that lecture in just a minute, Andrew. Tell us a little bit about your background, where you were raised and where you grew up at.
Sure. Well, again, it's really just a pleasure to be here. I grew up in a little suburb outside of Denver, Colorado, called Parker. In a nice Catholic family. I've been Catholic my whole life. And both of my parents are from Houston and grew up in a kind of Black Catholic neighborhood there. And so that's always been part of my background, the Black Catholic experience from the South, from Houston, from Louisiana, and so on.
Well, you got some good roots then.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's good. So you went to high school where?
At Ponderosa High School, which is just a public school, and then went to Colorado College for my undergraduate education, studied philosophy, and then went on to Notre Dame to do a master's and PhD in theology. And then now I've been working at Boston College for about 6 years.
Okay. So tell me, who were some of your influences besides your parents?
You know, I love reading the saints. I love reading the stories of their lives. Mm. And also, you know, it sometimes is just a person that you meet, and you might not even know them for a long time, but who says something that sticks with you. Like, I think about a woman that I met when I was visiting El Salvador, who told me about how she would pray and how that got her through the civil war that was happening there in the 1980s. And her life story just sticks with me. So people like that you kind of encounter in your life that make you think, wow, you know, this is where God is at work.
You know what, Andrew, you have ears and eyes open, it sounds to me, all the time, and you recognize God's presence, and I think that's so special. I think it's incumbent upon all of us to sort of feel, listen, and hear and see that way, but it sounds to me that it comes quite natural for you.
Yeah, it always has. I've always been a sort of sensitive person. I've always been a kind of prayerful person, a contemplative person, even when I was a little kid. And so I think the same thing that opens me up to the presence of God in the world is also the same thing that makes me attentive to people who are suffering or who are in need, whom I meet.
And so, again, you're coming in town on Thursday for this lecture. Now, this lecture is going to be at the University of Chicago in the Common Room at Swift Hall. And that's going to be, again, Thursday at, is it 5 o'clock, I believe?
That's right. It's 5 o'clock, and it's sponsored also by the Lumen Christi Institute.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so what can people expect? What's your topic of discussion?
Okay, good. So the title of my lecture will be The Hope of Exodus in Black and Womanist Theology. And so just some background. Black theology was a movement starting in the 1960s, but going on till today, that looks at the way our beliefs about God can help us respond to the history of racial injustice that we have in this country, from slavery through Jim Crow all the way up to the present. And womanist theology was sort of a spinoff movement that was focusing in particular on the experiences and perspectives of African-American women, since women had sometimes earlier in the tradition been overlooked. Womanist theology turned our attention to their contributions. So what I'm looking at in this lecture is the way that both of these traditions turn to the biblical story of Exodus, the story of God liberating the Hebrew people from their slavery in Egypt and bringing them into the Promised Land. So I'm looking at the way that people are reading that story and applying it to their lives today, thinking about the way that God is trying to give them freedom from whatever it is that's oppressing them now, whoever the pharaohs are in our world.
Okay. I love hearing that. You know, we have one pharaoh in the White House right now.
I think that's right.
Yeah, well, I know that people, a lot of black people anyway, predominantly, so look at it that way. They don't feel like this guy has their best interests at heart.
Right. And, you know, what makes someone like a pharaoh? I think it's about what they value. You know, do they just value their own wealth, their own power, their own status, to the exclusion of concern or compassion for other people in their midst? So the way that this country treats poor black people, the way that it treats Latinx immigrants, the way that it treats Muslims, and so on, all of these are ways that we're not showing compassion. And it starts at the top and goes all the way down.
I think
we are living in a problematic time.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of people would agree with you. And it's not all blacks, it's not all Latinos either. It's a class thing as well, right?
Right, right. A lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, we're living in a time of unprecedented economic growth, but also unprecedented economic inequality. So we're really seeing a sharper and sharper divide between the haves and the have-nots. And people who don't have enough to live, it's not just about they don't have all the luxury items they want. It's about they don't have access to education. They don't have access to health care. They don't have access to affordable housing. They have to work two or three jobs if they can even get enough to live on. So we're dealing with issues, complicated issues of racism, of class disparity, of cultural discrimination, all kinds of different things rolled together.
Okay, Andrew, we're going to take a pause right now for a commercial break, and we'll join you in just a few minutes, okay?
All right.
The words of everlasting. Rich Daniels is the director of the City Lights Orchestra and president of the Archdiocese of Chicago's Immigration Ministry Advisory Board.
It's about a safe background for the people who live here. It's about safe haven for those who want to come. And it's about a legal path that has sensible limits to it, that doesn't take $30,000 in legal fees to acquire. It doesn't take 16 years or 12 years to get yourself into that position. It really lacks any compassion and love for those people who really want to be a part of this country.
The Immigration Ministry promotes a society where immigrants are welcomed and where their cultural gifts are celebrated.
My goodness, this country would not be where we are today were it not for the immigrants from Ireland, from Poland, from Italy, from name it. It's just an amazing array of individuals who've come to our shores seeking a better life for themselves and their family.
Please support the Immigration Ministry by attending the Keep Hope Alive benefit Monday evening, May 13th, hosted by Cardinal Blaise Supich. For more information, call 312-534-8383. That's 312-534-8383.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years. Then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Hi, my name is Mary Bielski, and I'm a national speaker and youth minister. And I'm excited to introduce you to our third Echo Theology of the Body camp, held right here in Chicago. At Echo, we explore the teachings of St. John Paul II and address questions on themes like life, love, and human sexuality. Teens and young adults, please join us June 14th to the 20th at St. Xavier University for an amazing experience of prayer, fellowship, and tackling the deepest mysteries of life and love and even more. More information can be found on respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355. Again, that's 312-534-5355.
This is WNDZ at 7:50 a.m. You are listening to the Black Catholic Initiative. I'm your host, Deacon John. And we have as our guest this morning, Dr. Andrew Prevost. He's also associate professor at Boston College Department of Theology. Dr. Prevost, you know, this is also a time of great opportunity. So it would be people who would argue and say, hey, there's, you know, plenty access. There's plenty opportunities out there. But, you know, people aren't taking advantage of it either, including, you know, scholarships for education and so forth. So what would you say to that?
Well, I would say that those opportunities are often more limited than that story goes, you know, and we have to ask who's really getting access to those opportunities and who has the means of really pursuing them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's really a shame that we can't have everyone with kind of a guaranteed health care, guaranteed living wage, things like that that would really make it you know, a reality to say we're a land of opportunity for all and not just for some or for a few.
Yeah, you know, I can't imagine what our United States would be if that was the case. How wonderful it sounds it would be, you know, not to have to worry about your health, especially as you get older. And I talk to a lot of healthcare, you know, people in that industry from time to time. And people who have, you know, been in the hospital, that are caregivers and so forth. And it just seems the industry in itself, they don't care about you like they used to. It almost feels like a conveyor belt, you know, bringing them in, bringing them out. And, of course, we know that we don't spend much time in the hospital anymore. And, of course, you know, modern medicine and technology has helped that come along. But still, it seems like more like a business now.
Yeah, and there's a question about, you know, what we really value in our society across all of our different institutions. You know, do we really value the lives of people, or are we more concerned about things like our own wealth or status or power? And that to me is the real dividing line.
And who's asking that question? It seems to me that no one's asking that question. You know, what do we really value? Do we value people's lives? Is that important? Yeah, I just don't hear it. I think this subject matter that you're bringing up is very important. So why is it important to you to bring that across to people, to value lives more, or look at the bigger picture?
Yeah, well, you know, so oftentimes people say, you know, at a dinner party, you shouldn't bring up religion or politics.
Right.
But part of my job is actually always talking about both of those things simultaneously. So, and I think the reason is that our religious traditions, and I'm Catholic, so my own Catholic tradition is a big part of what helps to shape my my values, that then affect the way I think our society needs to go. So all of this is sort of connected. And I think when we look at Christianity, we really have two choices. We can either see it as a religion that says, you know, when times get tough, just offer it up, you know, grin and bear it, just kind of submit yourself to whatever is happening to you. Or we could look at it as a religion that says, look, God wants you to be free. God made you in his own image and destines you for a better life and a better world, and is present with you in the struggle for that, not only as an individual, but with you in your community, and so on. And I think that's what I'm so interested in the story of Exodus and the way that Black and womanist theologians are reading it, is that they're trying to give us a version of Christianity that can really help to shape our values, and maybe have a transformative impact on society.
Amen. And so you have also gathered this information from many other people too, right?
Yeah. So I'm looking at a number of different sources in my text. So one of the main sources is James Cone, who we just celebrated the 1 year anniversary of his death. He's really the founder of Black theology. And died sadly last year around this time. And he's someone who really took this story of Exodus and ran with it. But I'm also looking at some other more contemporary authors, like Eddie Glaude, Dolores Williams, Kelly Brown Douglas, Willie Jennings, who in various ways are complicating this task of reading Exodus. So let me just mention real quickly the four challenges that I think these other sources bring up. One is that, well, not everyone is a Christian or a religious person, and so how can the Exodus story be meaningful to people who don't necessarily believe that the Bible is inspired or revealed? So that's kind of Eddie Glaude's question in some ways. Another challenge is that, well, sometimes liberation from oppression doesn't happen in the kind of glorious way that it does in Exodus, where you're crossing through the Red Sea and God is with you in a pillar of cloud and fire. You know, sometimes you have to still look for the presence of God just in your daily life when you're trying to survive. And so Dolores Williams really draws attention to that more daily, kind of smaller way that God might be present in our struggles.
And we all need to do that. Dr. Prevost, I'm going to ask that you pause with us for another minute, and we're going to take a commercial break and join you in a few for our final segment.
Okay, great.
Hi, everybody. I'm Adam Fusilet from Dumox Ministries, and we're excited to introduce our third Echo Theology of the Body Camp held right here in Chicago. At Echo, we explore the teachings of St. John Paul II, and we dive into questions like, who am I? What's the meaning of my life? What's all of this stuff about relationships and discernment? How do I pray? And many other questions just like it. Teens and young adults join us June 14th through the 20th at St. Xavier's University for an amazing Echo experience. More information can be found at respectlifechicago.org, or you can give us a call at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355.
Hi, my name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot 3 times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll talk with Cardinal Blaise Cupich about worldwide protocols put in place by the Holy See following the historic meeting in Rome on the protection of children. And we'll give you a behind-the-scenes look at the televised Sunday Mass from Mercy Home for Boys and Girls.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
So, Dr. Prevost, I think when we left off, you were talking about Dolores Williams and her concept that God is present with us now.
Right, in our everyday lives. So sometimes God shows up as a liberator, you know, like in the story of Exodus, but sometimes God is present in smaller ways, like in the biblical story of Hagar, where God is present with her in the wilderness. So Dolores Williams helps us to contextualize Exodus within a larger sense of all of the many ways that God can be with us in our lives and our struggles. So the other two people I'll mention just real quickly is Kelly Brown Douglas alerts us to the fact that sometimes in this country the story of Exodus has been used in you know violent ways to support the idea that this is a promised land for Anglo-Saxon people, and we're going to conquer the native populations here just like the Israelites conquered the Canaanites when they got to the promised land. So she says, well, watch out, because you know you have to interpret this story in a way that truly is liberating for people and not oppressing them. And then finally, Willie Jennings says, well, another story we might think about is the story of the Hebrews in exile in Babylon. And maybe being a poor person of color today sometimes feels more like an exile experience, where we've been displaced And so he's asking, how can we get back to our roots? So I'm looking in my talk at all of these different perspectives on the story of Exodus and trying to show how, even though they're different, they still point toward that same hope that God wants us to be free.
Amen. And so moving from hope to practicality, is there any practicality? What are you suggesting that we do, or how do you hope to move people from one point to another from your talk? Or do you hope that?
Sure. Well, sometimes people might not think this is practical, but I actually think it is. One thing I would suggest is that people pay attention to their prayer lives.
Mm.
And how are they praying? You know, for whom are they praying? And how is that orienting their sense of what is right and wrong in the world? And I like praying with the slave spirituals. You know, one of them that's my favorite is Go Down Moses, which has a line, you know, let my people go.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if, as Catholics, we prayed with that song and had that shape our consciousness and our daily lives? So that would be one thing. Also, I would just say, you know, examine your own practices and your own institutions. You know, what organizations are you involved with? What kinds of things are they doing either to make this world a better place for everyone? Or perhaps what things are they doing that are unjust to some or to many? And to try to be a force of change in your own local communities, whether that be your church or your job or your school, whatever it may be. I'd say get involved and pay attention to what's going on.
And Dr. Prevost, you know, those are good suggestions. And I think that the Catholic Church is, and I think we all know that. I mean, we have the opportunity as a church to really do some really great things for our world in total. And, you know, but our church is split, unfortunately. You know, we're a church. We're a church of two thoughts, of two people, you know, and how is it that we as a church can find common ground? I think the common ground, of course, is Christ. But
right.
And it challenges us, though, to live that life of Christ. For some people, I think their definition might be a little different than what
That's
my
true.
Definition would be.
That's true. Everyone has a different way of interpreting things. But I think sometimes that's why we need to go back to some of these foundational stories that show us who God is, the God that we believe in, that's revealed in Scripture. This is not a God who's okay with people amassing wealth for themselves and disregarding the needs of the poor and the oppressed. This is a God who would stand in judgment against that. And Jesus, by the way, would do the same. It's not only the God of the Old Testament, as they say.
Amen.
Jesus was very forceful in his words against the powerful rulers of his day, saying, what are you doing for the least of these? So I think that that's our common ground as a church, or it really should be. We've got to go back and see who is the God that we're actually claiming to worship. And what should our lives look like if that is the case?
Amen. And I agree with you totally. Now, Dr. Prevost, we are on our way out here. You are an author, and I like the advice you gave on us looking at our prayer life and seeing if we could live out a prayer life that would, you know, be helpful for all people. And once again, you're going to be here on Thursday at the University of Chicago at the Common Room at Swift Hall. So I think if people want to come see you, they could go on the internet, right? And where do they go for that?
Yeah, so there's a Facebook page for the event, The Hope of Exodus in Black and Womanist Theology. It's public. You can express your interest in going. Anyone is welcome to attend, and I hope to see many folks there. And yes, and I've written a couple of books. One is called Thinking Prayer, One is called Theology and Race that express some of my ideas.
Let's share that at the lecture because we're running out of time here.
Okay, sure.
God bless you. See you Thursday.
God bless you, and thanks so much for having me on.
Okay.
Who am I? What does it mean to love? Why was I created? We'll address all of these great questions and more at Echo Chicago this June. Hello, I'm Dawn Fitzpatrick from Respect Life Ministries for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Echo Chicago is a Theology of the Body summer camp for teens and young adults. The Archdiocese is partnering with Dumb Ox Ministries to present a week of prayer, fun, and immersion in the teachings of St. Pope John Paul II. This exciting camp will take place at St. Xavier University in Chicago, June 14th to the 20th. Registration's now open. Go to respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355 for more information. That's respectlifechicago.org or call 312-534-5355. Early bird pricing is available until May 1st. All of us feel an echo in our heart to explore God's original creation and his true purpose for us. Join us in June for Echo Chicago.